Whether you're a Christ follower or not, every one of us at some point in time asks the question, who am I? What am I here for? The Encouraging Word. Today, Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, is going to take us to the book of 1 Peter, right there beginning in first chapter, first verse, as we answer this question, who am I? Opening God's Word together is what we do on a regular basis, and we encourage you to do it every single day. We have a wonderful tool that will help you do that, an email from Dr. Wilton you can sign up for online right now at tewonline.org. That's right. Visit our website, tewonline.org, and sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email, a wonderful bit of insight, absolutely free, of course, and it'll be there every day. As a matter of fact, we even have a free copy that's a hard copy if you're interested. You can always call us at 866 899 Word for your copy as well. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Would you please take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to 1 Peter in chapter 1 in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. Each one of us here today and those watching by way of television and worshiping with us, we find ourselves in life fraught by such a multi-natured bundle of struggle, circumstances. Every kind of imaginable thing that comes upon us in our lives, in our marriages, our family lives, our homes, our finances. My very good friend David Mathis last night playing a game of baseball and he hurt his thumb. I identify with that. But those are the things that we have to deal with because David Mathis is a great ball player. And to play a game of baseball is a very important part of our lives and we enjoy that. I know that he enjoys that and so you get injured in any kind of way and it interrupts the enjoyment. It puts you out of sync. But God's got a plan and a purpose, even though we cannot see it. Now, I want you to know, beloved friends, that we receive many letters, hundreds of letters, as you can imagine, and it's a blessing beyond description. I want you to know that I would never, and I never have, and I never will, ever violate the confidence of any letter or any matter that is ever shared with me personally as your pastor. We will never do that. I do not even share personal requests with our staff. And we hold confidentialities exactly where they need to be held, 100%. But I received a letter on Thursday and it moved me to such a deep level that I called the lady who wrote me this letter. Little did I know what a blessing was in store for me. Not only had she written me this incredible letter, but as I asked her, I said to her, I wonder whether you and your husband would in any way give this pastor permission to read this letter to this congregation and to our television audience. And I believe that what happened to you so deeply touches all of our lives that we not only identify with Mary and with Max and with their family, but we want you to know that God is the God of grace. Please allow me to read this letter with their permission this morning. Dear Pastor Wilton, you don't know me, but I have watched your television worship program so many times. I'm writing you with regard to a tragedy that has happened in our family, and I pray that you might have a word of comfort and encouragement for us. Our 24-year-old son, Jason, and his father had worked on a vacation trip, planning all the things they needed for Jason to take, destinations, campgrounds, etc. They worked on these plans for several months. He wanted to see some of the country, western states, before he came back to a new and exciting job. He told his dad, quote, "Now's the time for me to do this. I'm still single. And it is something I've always wanted to do." Of course, as a mom usually is, I wasn't quite ready for him to go. As he was leaving, he stopped in the middle of the driveway and yelled back to me, "Mom, don't worry, I'm going to be all right." As it happened, my husband, Max, was assigned to work for 2 weeks out in Texas, and I went with him. We made plans to meet Jason in a town in New Mexico on the weekend of September 12 and 13 this past month. We did, and we spent those 2 days with him. I helped him pick out some gifts for the family back home, including baby gifts for his new nephew, whom he adored. We left him on Sunday afternoon, and he was going to pick some groceries and continue his trip, although he said he was really homesick and wanted to hurry back home to his family. He has an older brother, Greg, an older sister, Lisa, a younger brother, Keith, a younger sister, Shauna. We are such a close family. On Monday morning, I decided to start a Bible study by Kay Arthur entitled, "Lord, Only You Can Change Me." I wrote in my notebook that I wanted to be real, on the inside as well as on the outside. Not a hypocrite. I wanted to be Christ-like. I wanted others, especially my family, to see Christ in me and in all that I do and say. I wanted to be the wife and mother He wanted me to be. I wanted a real, close, personal relationship with Him. Only You can do this, in Jesus' name. Then I prayed for all my children. We've been out of church for several years because of something, not really important now, that happened. Monday night, around 11 o'clock, the phone rang at the place we were staying in Texas. Our precious son Jason was gone home to be with the Lord Jesus. In an effort to stay warm that night, he slept in the van he was driving, but placed a can of charcoal briquettes, hot ones, in the van with him. He went to sleep. My daughter has said to me, "Mom, God did it so gently. Oh, how my heart aches for my sweet Jason. I carried him beneath my heart for 9 months and labored to give him birth. I heard him sing, 'Jesus Loves Me,' and I heard him tell about the little black box when he was saved. He said there was a little boy who had a little black box, and he washed it and shined it all up and made it all clean and pretty. He said, 'This is what happens when you give your heart to Jesus. Jesus takes that old black dirty heart and washes and cleans it all up and makes it whiter than snow. I saw him help his 4-year-old nephew catch his first fish. I saw him grow into such a dear young man. He has said so many times to so many people, 'My purpose in life is my family. I want to do for them whatever they need.' I had told him we didn't need things. Just to have him as a son was enough. Pastor Wilton, at my Jason's funeral, 11 people prayed the sinner's prayer. His life touched so many people, and he never even knew. One of the songs he sung was, 'If You Could See Me Now.' Jason would be saying to us, 'Mom, Dad, if you could see me now,' I know this should be all such a comfort to us, and it is. But is it okay for me to ask why? You know, it's like my lips will smile again, laughter will come from my mouth again, but my heart is silent. I miss him so. Just to touch his face again, give him a hug again, look at those twinkling eyes again. Will I know him in heaven? Can you give me scripture? Would you also pray for us? We will be driving back out to New Mexico next week to get his van and personal belongings and gifts he had brought. I realize that you are not our pastor, but we believe you to love God and his people, and would appreciate so very much your prayers and any scripture that you could give us at this time. We thank you so much for listening with our love. Thank you for writing that letter to all of us today. It's okay to ask a whole lot of questions when we hurt. And I really believe with all my heart, Mary, I'm just one person, but I believe that it's okay to ask God why. I think He understands that question. I think the Lord Jesus knew why He went to the cross, don't you? He had every reason. And I think the Lord Jesus knows that we struggle and we hurt and we go through life with all these things. And we know how much you must miss Jason. He must have been a marvelous young man. And our congregation, we just send all of our love to you today and to every person today who finds themselves in circumstances perhaps not too different from what Max and Mary find themselves in. Because life is filled with every kind of conceivable challenge, isn't it? Nowhere in the Bible does the Word of God say that we become exempt from these challenges. But one thing the Bible does say is that we can stay strong in difficult times. You know, the most remarkable thing about 1 Peter is that the whole of this wonderful letter was written to people like you and me. We're going to discover that. These were remarkable people here in 1 Peter, this time at which Peter was writing, because we're going to discover that they were called strangers. An unusual kind of name to call a group of people, these people. They were called strangers, and the word stranger there literally meant what these people were. They were a people that were scattered. They were sojourners in the land. They were being persecuted. In fact, I'm going to tell you that Peter wrote this, and in chapter 5 and verse 13, and I'm not going to dwell on this, if you don't mind this morning, he actually says that he's writing from Babylon. And so people like me who are interested, we go back and ask ourselves, where was he writing this? Because maybe it will help us to understand why he was writing this. There were three Babylons in Scripture. There was, first of all, ancient Babylon in Mesopotamia. We read about it in the book of Revelation. But ancient Babylon in Mesopotamia became disintegrated in AD 41 under the tyranny of Emperor Caligula, who was such a persecutor of the faith that the Jews ran hither and thither and were persecuted in an incredible way. Peter, in essence, was saying to them, listen, my people, I want you to know that you can stay strong in difficult times. The other Babylon was in Egypt. There's no record of Peter having gone down there. The third Babylon we read about in Revelation chapter 17, which is Rome. We know that Peter was eventually crucified upside down in Rome. His wife was martyred. Peter didn't want to be executed the same way as the Lord Jesus. And so tradition tells us that he was crucified upside down. He closed out his ministry in Rome, even though he didn't find the Church of Rome. But this here is written in the context of the Roman Empire. So let's read the first two verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Those were the five provinces of Rome, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling by His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Isn't that a wonderful word? Isn't it a wonderful thing to think that we can say, not only to Max and to Mary, but to every one of us today, no matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, No matter where we've been and no matter where we have to still go, grace and peace be yours in abundance. It seems to me it's almost as though the Apostle Peter was saying, let's just back up an 18-wheeler here and load it up with grace and peace. It's yours. Why don't we move a U-Haul into your life and let's load up an abundant amount of grace and peace. It's yours. Now, how is that made possible? How can we stay strong in difficult times? Where do we go? Well, it seems to me rather interesting here that Peter had a twofold purpose for writing this. His first purpose was in order to challenge and strengthen people like you and me. I love that. When I read Peter and when I begin to study God's Word, I'm not only strengthened, but I'm challenged. But there was a second purpose for writing Peter, and it was simply to reinforce truth. We're going to discover that. I love that word, to reinforce. It means to give it some extra protection. It means to guard it better, to provide a greater sense of protection for ourselves. Peter was writing this not only to challenge and to strengthen us, but to reinforce truth, to remind us about the source of hope that we have, the solid rock upon which we stand. And I think it's marvelous that God chose Peter, don't you? Because Peter was the rock upon which the church is built. And if anybody could understand the ups and downs, we can understand Peter talking about staying strong in difficult times. In fact, I think Peter had an audacity to write this, don't you? He was the one who denied Jesus three times. Talk about staying strong in difficult times. Anyone here ever wanted to give up? Peter had every reason. Anyone here ever had let the Lord down? Have you ever made a vow to God and you've broken it? Staying strong in difficult times? Have you ever asked the question why of God because something has happened and then felt bad because you asked that question? Staying strong in difficult times. May I submit to you that we need to discover who we are. Who am I? That's what we need to look at this morning from God's Word. In these first two verses, Peter, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, goes so deep that we could never justify any study in this passage, because God takes us into the depths of the triune God. And Peter, trying to answer the question, how can we stay strong in difficult times? He says, let me see, where can we begin? I know where we'll begin. We'll begin in the heart of the triune God. There's our three points this morning. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But we're going to put it in this context. I am chosen by God. I am sanctified by His Spirit, and I'm sprinkled by His blood. There's the work of God the Father, the work of God the Spirit, and there is the work of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I am chosen by God, I am sanctified by the Spirit, and I'm sprinkled by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter, in order to say, you have an abundant amount of grace and peace made available to you, he puts that flat on the surface, the solid rock of our very existence, and he bathes everything in the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says, hold on, before we even start to try to discover how we can stay strong in difficult times, I want you to know who you are. I want you to know that. And so let's have a look at this. And when we look at this, two things are going to happen. When we have a fresh look at an understanding of the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are not only going to be challenged and strengthened, but the truth of who God is within itself going to reinforce our ability and our capacity to continue despite the hurt and the pain that we endure.
Wow, forgive the interruption, but that's worth saying again. The truth of who God is going to reinforce our ability and our capacity to continue despite the pain and the hurt we have to endure. Wow, you're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. Forgive the interruption. He insists I remind you we're available not just during this broadcast, but 24 hours a day in two ways on the phone at 866-899-9673. That's 866-899-9673 or online at TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org. Now back to today's teaching.
So let's look at it. Who am I? First of all, I'm chosen by God. I'm chosen by God. The Word of God says there in verse 2, you have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, friends, we are getting into a deep area, election and predestination. I pray that no one in this congregation will ever become bound by the truth of the triune God. Let me tell you, folks, there is no greater potential for you as a believer to be bound and restricted and to lose your joy in the Lord Jesus Christ other than an improper and incorrect understanding of election and predestination. And if you develop an improper understanding, either to one extreme or to another, you will withdraw yourself into a small little group of sanctified Christians who will become modern-day Pharisees. Let me help you to understand this just very briefly. Basically, what Paul is saying, Peter is saying here, he is saying, I am chosen by God. According to the foreknowledge of God, I am the elect of God. I've heard some people say, well, that means that some people are elected to go to heaven and some people are elected to go to hell. That is not what the Bible says. Jesus said, those who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, whosoever will to the Lord may come. Jesus said, I have come to save the lost. I've come to seek and save those who have gone away from me. That is the very purpose for my death. And the predestination of God is to save all people. But God has given you and me an opportunity to turn him down. The free will of man. You cannot be saved outside of the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God draws you to himself. Someone told me one time, and I love this illustration, when I'm born, I'm traveling down a highway, and in front of me is a bridge, and on that bridge is written, whosoever will to the Lord may come. I'm part of the whosoever will, because I'm born lost in my sin. I'm not born a saved man. I'm born with the potential to be saved because of what Jesus Christ has done in the past for me, having already died upon the cross. And so I travel down life's pathway. The Spirit of God draws me to himself. I receive Jesus Christ. I exercise my faith in him. I repent of my sin. I trust in him. And I pass under the bridge of salvation. The whosoever will, that's me. As I pass under the whosoever will bridge of salvation, I turn around. And I look back, and written on the backside, it says, you are God's elect. You are the chosen one. My election is based upon the fact that I have responded to the Spirit of God who is speaking in me and drawing me to him. And friends, when I am struggling and when I'm going through all the difficulties and sharp turns of life, I thank God that I can be reminded that I am chosen by God. What does it mean? It means that God has a plan for me. It means that God has a purpose for me. It means that God has a place for me. That's what it means to be chosen of God. I love that. I love that. God has a plan for me. That's what it's all about, folks. God has a plan for you and me. And do you know what he says? He says, I am providing for you at birth my aircraft, my plan. I want you to know that I know the end from the beginning. I know the final destination and I know how I'm going to get in there. Who's with me? Count on me, Lord. You're the pilot. I'm with you. I just believe God is going to get me where I need to go. Amen? Now, I want you to think about this. Staying strong in difficult times by knowing, first of all, who I am. I am chosen by God. I'm part of God's flight plan. And He is the captain. He's the pilot. He is the one who's driving the ship. God has a plan for me. God has a purpose for me. He sees the future. He controls the future. He has a place for me. Why? Because I'm a stranger. As a believer, I must come to a fresh understanding that my focus must be on heaven. When I hurt and I'm in pain and I ask these questions, I must remember that I'm just here for a little while. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, they all died in faith and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 15, we are all strangers as were our forefathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and there is none abiding. What about the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 19? I am a stranger upon the earth. I'm chosen by God. Isn't that remarkable? There's a second thing Peter reminds us of to give us strength, to encourage us, to reinforce truth. He says, I'm not only chosen by God, but I'm sanctified by the Spirit. Now look here, the whole Trinity, the whole triune God is being brought to bear in me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Even though I'm down in the dumps and I find myself with all these struggles, that God says, you know who you are? You are someone who has been completely overcome by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's what strengthens me.
Oh, and that strength comes in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Have you made that decision? Before we get away, closing thoughts from our pastor and chief encourager, Dr. Don Wilton.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
If God has moved in your life, you need to tell somebody. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you need to tell somebody, and why not us? We'd love to put free resources in your hands, and you can do that through our prayer line. Here's Liz to give you all the details. We'd love to hear from you at 866-899-9673.
Prayer is a special gift from God. He knows us, He loves us, He hears us. He wants us to come to Him in prayer. We would love to pray with you and pray for you. The Encouraging Word has a 24-hour live prayer line. You can call 866-899-WORD and talk to a live person who would be glad to pray with you. That's 866-899-9673. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Thanks so much, Liz. That number, the 866-899-9673 number, is for prayer, but it's also to connect with resources that will help change your life. Resources like the Daily Encouraging Word email. You can ask for a physical copy, be sent to you if you call us at 866-899-9673, or visit us online at tewonline.org. We'd love to connect with free resources there as well. That's tewonline.org.